So this morning, Eduardo, thank you. I was talking about King of Queens, a TV show. Tonight, I'm not going to talk about King of Queens. I'm going to talk about something a little bit more serious. This is a picture of Tsar Nicholas. I don't know if anybody realizes who Tsar Nicholas is, but I didn't, maybe 6 months ago. He was the last emperor of all of Russia around year 1894 to 1917. He was known as one of the most powerful men in the world. He came into power because his dad died. Tsar Nicholas I was very beloved. The people just absolutely loved him. The Russian people just adored this Tsar that they had. And he had everything that he needed. He had great advisors. He had great people around him. He had his wife and his kids. He had all of these great things, just wonderful things that he had. Everything was fine, just fine, until he met this man. This man's name is Grigory Rasputin. He brought this man on to be a family friend. He says, you know, come in and help us in some type of, I want to get closer to God. And that's what literally he brought this man in for. This man was a peasant 10 years ago, but now he is the aide to one of the most powerful men in the world. Now, when the Russian people heard about this, they said, we don't want this man to be influencing our king. So Nicholas said, you know what? He's just my friend. He's not going to influence me. And history will show that that's the way that it was intended to be. He didn't want this man to influence him. He was just supposed to be a friend. Tragically, 17 July 1918, Tsar Nicholas and his entire family were executed. Just a few years after everything came into power, after everything was going great for him and his entire family were executed at the hands of the Russian people. Think about this. This man was the king. He was one of the most wealthiest men. He had everything in his hands. Everything was just wonderful. He had great advisors and all this. And then him and his entire family, they put him in a room downstairs in a basement and executed the entire family. How did this happen? How did he go from being wise and on top of the world to being executed? And they executed him last. They executed his family first, made him watch, and made him be last. History will show the reason why his family and him was executed was because of his friend, Grigory Rasputin. He made this man lose his mind. He was so sharp, so powerful. Just one friend was brought in, obviously the wrong friend, and the next thing you know, all the power, all the money, all the prestigious reign that he had was gone. All of that because of one friend. So funny, if you go research this, everybody will point to Grigory Rasputin. If he would have never brought in that friend, maybe he would have lived until he was a ripe old age. That didn't happen. So I think about that, and I think about how we as Christians sometimes just say, well, they're just my friend. They don't have any influence. They can't do anything to harm me. They're just my friends. I know they're not in Christ, but they're just my friends. I mean, what's wrong with having folks that are friends outside of Christ? And when I say friends, it's easy to just say friends, and that's okay. But friends, family, anybody who's outside of Christ, that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 6 was talking about. We'll get into that tonight. Earthly relationships are essential. We have to have earthly relationships. We cannot carry on the mission of Christ unless we have earthly relationships. I mean, how would we be able to teach the lost if there were no lost to be friends with in the first place? We have to have that. It's essential. Matthew 28:19, you'll see there, but verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Who is them? It's people in the world. We're going to have to teach these folks. That's one of the purposes of that. God didn't just say we need to know these people just so they can make us feel good or we could just have company. They have a purpose. We have a purpose. And when we're friends with folks, we need to keep that in mind. We have a purpose to fulfill here. We're not just supposed to be friends forever. We're supposed to do something that obeys the will of God. And one of those things is teaching them the things that they're supposed to be doing according to the gospel of Christ. Couple kinds of teaching. You got direct teaching. Then Philip opened his mouth there in Acts chapter 8. And beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Yeah, so that's a direct way where you sit down with somebody and you say, hey, let me teach you the word. Let me teach you what's going on here. That's one way of dealing with your friends. Another way is indirect. In Acts chapter 17, there's a different way. When Paul was going to teach a certain number of people, a certain number of elect people, he did teach those people, but it was a whole bunch of folks around him, you're going to read that heard it. And they wanted to know what was going on here. Some of them were happy, some of them were mad. He wasn't even talking to them. He was talking to somebody else, and these people just heard it. So when we teach our friends, when we show our friends, just because we may be targeting that person, it could be somebody else that's affected just because we're doing our jobs as the way Christ told us to do. So there's direct teaching, there's indirect teaching, there's demonstrating Christ. If we didn't have earthly relationships, how would we be able to demonstrate Christ to people? If we didn't have relationships outside of the body, how would we be able to be that light to them in the first place? I want you to think about it from a logical standpoint. These people are necessary. It is absolutely necessary to have these friends outside of the body. But we got to always keep in mind that there's a purpose. When we're talking about demonstrating Christ, it's about the way that we live, the way that we go every day, the way we raise our kids, the things that we say, the things that we don't say, the way we behave and all of those things. People are going to see it. Our friends are going to see it. And this is something that's practical for folks that are 19, just coming into Christ, folks that are 25, 35, 45, 50, all the way up. This is something that we all have to know. We should not have friends that are there just because. We should know that there is a divine purpose for God allowing us to have these earthly relationships. You know, a lot of things that we talk about when it comes down to being friends are things that we are supposed to do when it comes down to our earthly friends. But what about the things that we're not supposed to do? I mean, think about all the things that are going on in our lives and we're just supposed to say no sometimes. How hard is it when you're amongst your friends, especially young, and I'm, you know, starting to figure out it doesn't really matter if you're young or old. People are going to be asking you to do things that are contrary to God's will, and you have to be able to say no. God gave us these people as our friends, again, for one purpose. And that's not to make us feel good. That's not to make us walk around and be the higher folks. It's for them to know who Christ is. All of this should be pointing back to Christ. That's the whole purpose of us having them in the first place. How can we teach people what Jesus said if we don't have them in the first place? By showing them the way, by showing them what they're supposed to be doing to get there. John 14:6 is a great example of that. Showing them the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. How about showing them that way? There's definitely a way to get there, and there's definitely a wrong way to get there. We say we love our friends. We'll talk about that later. If we love our friends, we ought to show them the way to get to Christ. That just makes sense to me. Now, let me tell you something else here, too, and there's the passage there. We can be exposed. Hebrews 5:12. I'm going to turn there for a second. Hebrews 5:12. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I'm going to tell you what I love about the gospel. The gospel gives us progress checks. The gospel says, you know what, by this time you should be at this point. By this point, you should be at this, and by this, and this, and this. The gospel just doesn't say go out and do. It says, you know what, here's some things that you should know. You should be moving down this road. And if you're out there trying to talk to your friends about Christ, you're out there trying to live that life about Christ, and then we're starting to stumble, that will expose, wait a minute, maybe I'm not where I need to be at as a Christian. I've done this plenty of times. The first time I wanted to go talk to folks about Christ, I went out there and I opened my mouth and I realized quickly I did not know what I needed to know. It exposed me. Having these earthly friends is like a gauge into where we need to be in Christ. We should be able to go out to anybody in the world and say, this is what thus says the Lord, because that's what he told us to do. That's our entire purpose, to bring glory and honor to him. We should be able to easily do that. And sometimes we have these friends and we never mention the word of God to them. It'll expose us if we do what thus says the Lord. There's that conditional statement there. Our strengths and weaknesses is another one that are really good. We're not there doing things the way we want to. We have to do things the way that God wants us to. And not all of us are going to be able to do this. And I know I hadn't said it a lot, but I want us to understand, not everyone is going to be able to go out and be the best evangelist in the world. It's just not going to happen. I can't, you know, I tell Chad all the time, I can't write books. I can barely put together this handout, let alone write a whole book. Some people are good at that. Some people are not. Some people are good at going out and you know, starting conversations with strangers and so on and so forth. Some people are not. But still, that doesn't take away from the fact that our earthly relationships should be confined. It should not just be, I'm going to have this everlasting earthly relationship with this person just because. We need to be keeping this in mind all the time. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 there says, and he gave some apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. All of these things, we're not be able to do one thing or this thing, but we should be able to do something. And we'll find that out real quick when it comes down to dealing with somebody that's outside of Christ, our friends specifically. Friends and family, don't forget that. Just doesn't have to be friends, it can also be family. So, this is hard to pick, cake or pie. You wanna know what I did yesterday? I just grabbed both and went home before anyone could see me. Which do you prefer there? We know earthly relationships are essential. We have to have them. But I used to think that there was a choice that I had to make. I used to be put in this situation where I got to choose this or that. And what I'm saying is, and what the Bible's saying is, there is no choice. There is no, I want to go be with this person over my brother. That is unbiblical. The Bible is clear, crystal clear on this. We have our earthly friends and we have our brethren, not in the same category. Jesus has laid all of this out and said, your brethren are on par with loving me as Jesus the Christ. You go out and do something like that that's contrary to your brethren, you're doing it to me. Now, Jesus didn't make just random statements like that. When he says something like that, we ought to listen. We should prefer the brethren over our earthly friends, shouldn't we? We should. We should not have a friend that's outside of the body. Now, I can get this at the beginning stages. I can. Totally get it. I didn't know these people. When I came out of the water, I didn't know all of these people who were, you know, being so nice to me and wanting to teach me. I just didn't know them. So, of course, it's like, man, I don't feel comfortable around these people. But the more time I spend, the more fellowshipping we have, the more edifying we have, we should prefer these people in the body over the people that are outside of the body, because these people have value. We're going to have everlasting life with them. Luke 10:27, and then he answered, you shall love the Lord Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. See, that's a commandment to us. You need to love God with everything that we have. Everybody needs to love God, but Christians, we've stepped up to the plate and said, we've like signed on the line and said, we're going to love God with everything that we have. We have that in common, everybody in here. I should be able to go to any house in here and realize I'm going to be able to sit down and have a spiritual conversation with any one of you in here, because you all love God with everything that you have. And you should be able to call me up and say, Brother Buck, I'm struggling with this, or can you talk to me about this? And I say, come on over, because I love God with everything that I have. That's the way that it should be. It's not like that sometimes. How many times you sit down and you talk to somebody at work and they're saying, oh, I love God, you know, God is this, God is that. They make 100 Facebook posts a minute about how they love God, and then you look at their life and it's like, no, that doesn't look like you love God to me. I could be wrong, but the way it looks to me, it doesn't look like you love God. Loving God is an action. It's not something that we just do. And these people, we should be the ones who are loving God by our actions, not by the words that are coming out of our mouth. We should be the people who love God by everything that we do. We should just be sweating, I love God. Not just a whole bunch of lip service. Because if we're just doing the lip service, we're no different than the ones in the world who are doing the lip service. All these people out there are saying, I love God. These big major mega preachers who are in the pulpit dancing around with Chuck Taylors on and skinny jeans. And no man should wear skinny jeans. But anyway, up there wearing skinny jeans and all that stuff. They love God because they say so. The difference is biblical evidence goes to how we behave. That's a clear indicator of do we love God or not. People who show they love God, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. We got to follow his example. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Christ didn't just say, God didn't just say, I love you. They demonstrated it. That's what love is. It's a clear demonstration. What about edification? Edification is a big one. We're not going to get built up. To edify literally means to build up. We're not going to get built up by folks out there in the world. They're going to tear us down. Now, they may say some things that make you feel good. That doesn't mean that they're going to actually build you up. Your family who's not in Christ, I hope that they are. I hope that they do build you up in a certain kind of way. But they're not going to build you up spiritually because they don't have the capacity to do that. Again, friendship should be in a box. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edifying. We need to know this. We need to know that not everything out there is going to build us up. In earthly relationships, people that are not in Christ, 9 times out of 10, they're not building us up. They're not telling us to do the right thing. They're not there with you on Saturday night saying you need to go to bed. You know, one of the things I like about our young group, we consider, like on Saturday night, we'll be talking. It's like, we can't get together late on Saturday night because guess what? We got to go to worship Sunday morning. That's like the number one thing in our mind. We got to go to worship it Sunday morning. So we're not going to be out here gallivanting around 10, 11 o'clock at night because I know it's going to be hard to wake up to go to worship. We consider that. That's edifying. But somebody who's not in the body of Christ, they're going to be like, what else do we got to do on Sunday morning? Come on and party. Come on and hang out. Come on and do all these things. I'm not concerned about that. Real love. Talking about folks who show some, there's a song about, Real love. Folks who are showing for real, showed enough love to the brothers and sisters. We should want to be around those people. Someone says, I love God and hates his brother. He's a liar, the scripture says. It's not me. It's what the Bible says. 1 John 4:20. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Got to want to be around each other. Opposed to the world. Just want to be happy to see each other. We should, like, just real, like, for real happy to see each other. Like, man, I can't wait to see this person over this friend out there. I want to see your smiling faces. Then my wife was talking about this last night, I believe. It was like, you know what? It just feels so good to come to worship and know these people, like, for real love us. You can't get there with friends out there in the world because sometimes they're doing what best suits them. We should all be all focused on the Father. That's what we should be doing. And lastly, in this section here, everlasting relationships where it doesn't end. See, I want to be able to say, listen, I don't want this to end. I want us to be together forever. I don't want us to just, you know, sit here on Sundays and we do all this and we go on to glory and just, you know, that's over. No, I want our relationships to last forever. I want to be able to look at you while I'm in the presence of God and say, I get to be with you forever. If you don't want that, maybe need to work on that. Because that's what this is all about. Got to be able to want being around our brethren because we are going to be together forever. If we're faithful unto death, as it says in Revelation 2:10. Amen? Everlasting. Now, some of you, David Baldwin, I don't want to be with you forever. I'm just joking. But seriously, we should want to be with each other forever. Heaven is eternal. But store for yourselves and treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. That's what we need to be focusing on. Danger zone. I wish I had like a noise like, that'd be real cool, but we got to get with the times at Kent. Things we need to worry about having these earthly friendships. Things we got to talk about. Things we need to know. Things that are in the Bible that we just have to look at. We read this. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And I had Ivan read a little bit more in that because I wanted you to show that contrast that Paul keeps saying there. Light and darkness and the believers and unbelievers and all these things. There is definitely contrast. Paul was showing that we are not in the same boat. And that's the thing that we have to remember. You know, the dangers are we can start to become immune to sin if we're hanging out there with friends that are not in the body. You know what I mean? Like they are doing things that are contrary. Friends, family that are contrary to God's word. And I'm telling you, the longer you're around it, the more it starts to look okay. I know this for a fact. The longer we are around people that don't value what God has to say, I don't care if it's our dad, our mother, sisters, or brothers, I don't care if it's our earthly friends, the longer we're around these people, I'm telling you, ungodly things starts to seem normal. We can't do that. It's one of the reasons why Paul just laid out this point here in 2 Corinthians 6. It's danger zone. We got to have that purpose in mind. Just not doing it just to do it. We got to make sure that we keep our eyes focused on God. Some of the activities that are going on, ungodly activities, and there's a lot of them. Going to do these things, a lot of ungodly activities. People are out there doing and carrying on like everything is okay. Not even realizing that this is the direct conflict with what God has to say. And you talk about, we went back to the beginning of our lesson, the reason for earth having these earthly relationships. How would some of our friends even know that what they're doing is in direct contradiction to what God has to say unless we, the light of the world, would show it to them, expose? Remember we talked about this in Bible class a week or two ago? Light exposes things. They wouldn't be able to see it. But if Jesus says that we're going to be the light, then we have to be able to show, hey, what you're doing is not what the Bible is saying. We'll talk about that, why we don't do that. What about talking about things that we have no business talking about? You know, guys like to really get to, especially guys that are not in the body, guys like to get together and talk about things and laugh and joke about things that are just not funny. Anybody who goes to work every day and you're around worldly guys, it's going to be some worldly conversation comes up real fast. You know, when I first became a Christian, I'm like, those are just guys, and now I know. I have no business doing that. Have no business being in that conversation. I have no business just standing. You know, the point to it is stand up for Christ and say, even if I have to lose you as my friend, I don't care. I'm going to stand up for Christ. At least then they will know that you're serious. You're convicted about your faith in Christ Jesus. If we don't do that, then we're just going along coking and joking with them. And like I said, I'm not pointing fingers because I've been there. If we just keep on doing this and being a part of these conversations and acting like it's all cool, and that goes for women too. Women have potty mouths just like men have potty mouths. It goes for everybody. If we just be in these conversations like everything is cool, we're deceiving ourselves. It's not going to work out very well. Look at this apple here. That's an ugly apple. I don't want to eat it. Kind of looks like a skeleton, right? The longer you are around people who are okay with sin, like I said, the more normal it becomes. So before you know it, this apple that looks like, I don't want to bite this apple, we'll find a way to look at the apple in a different angle and say, you know what, the apple doesn't look that bad. I've seen it, been a part of it. You're sitting there saying at the beginning, this is dead wrong. This person should not be doing this. I should not be involved in it. Before you know it, you're looking at it like, oh, that's not so bad. It is pretty bad most of the time. And what about being afraid to speak God's truth? Again, this goes down to we have a job to do. Our earthly friendships should be in a box. And the reason why a lot of times we don't want to do this is because we don't want to break up our friendships. Let's just be honest about this. We have relationships with people out there that we don't want to let go. Family, friends, associates, coworkers. What I'm saying is there are relationships with folks that we just don't want to let go. And Jesus said in Matthew 10 there that I didn't even come to bring you together in the first place. That wasn't my goal to bring you together. I came to be a sword. Mother against daughter, father against son. If he could talk about it from that perspective, then surely when it comes out of these friends, we shouldn't have relationships with people that are going to tear us apart. We cannot be afraid to lose friends. That's how you know you're doing it right in Christianity. Not from a standpoint of I'm trying to lose friends, but you're going to have some casualties along the way where people don't want to deal with you because of your faith. And if we're afraid to do that, if we're afraid to lose friends for Christ's sake, Christ talked about that. I'm here just trying to say it as plainly as I can possibly say it. We have to get to a point where we are not concerned about folks that are outside of Christ who just want to completely disregard what God's will is. If we're having studies and making progress and so on and so forth, then great. And I know you have to be patient. You just can't write people off, but that does mean you can't just go hang out with them every week just because. You got to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm a follower of Christ. What you're doing, I don't agree with. If you ever want to, have that conversation, let's do that. But I've tried everything, and at this point, I'm going to back away. And if we lose our friends because of that, then so be it. So be it. I used to think going to worship was a Sunday morning choice. I really did. I would wake up on Sunday morning and I would say, going to worship is just about, man, if I set my alarm clock early enough and I get up and going to worship was a Sunday morning activity. The longer I'm in Christianity, I realize that going to worship is not a Sunday morning activity. Going to worship is an all-week activity where we're focused on making sure that going to worship is a priority. And we have earthly friends out there who are doing things, and contrary to that, you can set up a ripple effect where you just stay up too late on Thursday, for example, and before you know it, you got stuff to do on Friday and stuff to do on Saturday, and you wake up on Sunday morning, and now you're in this tough predicament. Do I go to worship or not? What we should have did was say, you know what? I know if I don't get to bed tonight, I'm not going to have another opportunity to get to bed at a decent time, and that's going to just throw off my whole week, and I'm not going to wake up on Sunday and not obey my Lord and go to worship. This is a choice that we make way beforehand. With friends, it's the same thing. When we're out doing things with friends or doing things with family and all these things that are contrary to what the Bible has to say, the decision has been made then, not on Sunday. So think about that. So think about it from a perspective of, well, I need to make this decision now. And if they don't want to be with you because of that, if they get upset, then so be it. That's what Christ said. That should be comforting to know that Christ has already said, this is how it's going to be. This is how they're going to treat you. He's also said, they're not mad at you. They're mad at me. So take comfort in that. They're not mad at you. They're mad at Christ Jesus. It's his rule. It's his law. Lastly, what's the Bible teach on this? We've talked about a lot of it, but it's good to go through it. The Bible teaches that our earthly friendships should have limitations. The Bible teaches that we are not to just mix the two. The Bible teaches that our brothers and sisters in Christ are of higher priority than our earthly relationships. End of discussion. There's no wishy-washiness about it. There's no anything. If the brothers and sisters are getting together, if a brother or sister is in need, and you got to make up a mind, do I go be with these people just for the sake of hanging out or for the sake of hurting their feelings? I go be with the brothers. The Bible is crystal clear on that. Matthew 25:40-45. I'm going to read a little bit of that. Matthew 25:40-45. This is Jesus talking here, and he says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, it's as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed it into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they say, then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will say and answer to them, saying, surely I say to you, this as much as you did it, did not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. If you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me, Jesus said. Talking about brothers and sisters, and talking about how we should be this far from even thinking about that we're in the same bucket. Love your friends. Please love your friends. As I say this before I go, always be a Christian in front of your friends. Don't just be a Christian sometimes. Actually love your friends so that they will be able to see Christ in you. Always be a Christian. No days off. Don't be taking days off from being a Christian. That's one of the worst things we can do as Christians when we're trying to convert somebody is when they see that day that we're just all flushed and they're not even thinking about God. They're waiting on it. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, but we can make sure that we behave in a way that's according to the way that Christ told us to be. Care about their soul. If we say we love them, care about them. And true friends, not my words, true friends will want what's best for their friends. True friends will do that. Friendship with the world, anybody in the world, should not compromise who we are as Christians. We have a clear prescription of what we need to be, who we need to be at all times. And we would be foolish to let a earthly friendship compromise our relationship with Christ. He's given us so many warnings all over the Bible. Bam, 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 just flashing in our face. Be careful because of this. If people weren't struggling with this, then Paul wouldn't have wrote it. What you think about that? If people wouldn't be struggling with this, Paul wouldn't have wrote it. He wrote it for a reason because we need it, every one of us. Amen? Every one of us need to know that we have to be careful with our earthly relationships. If you're here today, you're a Christian, and you've let some relationships that are outside the body get in the way, Christ is standing saying, hey, whatever happened, it's okay. Repent, remember, confess your sins, 1 John 1:8 and 9, and I'll forgive you for them. If you're not a Christian, then come be a part of the greatest family in the world and have a friendship that can be everlasting. We can all sit around at the feet of God himself in the presence of God where he is the light and he can be there with us and we could have an everlasting relationship. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.